Diary. Sunnyside, Currumbong, Australia. December 4th, 1896. Today I picked the first ripe peach, deep red in colour, from my orchard. These peach trees were planted 1 year ago, the last of September. We have several nectarine trees, bearing red-cheeked, fine-looking fruit, some of which is nearly ripe. Next year we will have quite an abundance of fruit, if the blessing of the Lord rests upon our trees. I want to connect the Lord with everything with which we have to do. I want, oh so much, to have Jesus in all my thoughts. On Sabbath, November 21st, I spoke to the people in Newtown. We had a precious meeting. The Lord gave me great freedom. Sunday evening, I departed from my usual custom and consented to speak in the chapel at Ashfield. I had my text selected, Ephesians 6, verse 10 to 18, and had read it only 5 minutes before I opened my Bible in the pulpit. But when I stood before the people, I opened to another scripture, 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 to 27, and read it as if this were the subject I had designed to speak upon. The church was full, and the Lord gave me special freedom and power before the people, believers and unbelievers. At the close, several told how glad they were to listen to that discourse, saying it was just what they needed. The strangest part of the matter was this. It did not enter into my mind that the Lord had taken away from me the text selected and had given me another subject, one that had not come into my mind. Neither did it come into my mind until the next day. I had much freedom and believed that the Lord gave me my subject. Then the American mail must be sent, and for this I wrote very taxingly. On the following Wednesday, the Norfolk mail was to go. I applied myself to writing very diligently. But at noon on Tuesday, I felt that my strength was used up. After eating a very sparing dinner, I was taken suddenly ill, vomiting and purging. The family were all in Sydney. I was the only one in the house. Maggie Hare came home first and was alarmed to find me so ill. She knew not what to do for me. About 6 o'clock, Sarah McKentifer came, and I can recollect no more. Sarah worked over me until 2 o'clock in the morning. I knew nothing during the night. In the morning, the fever left me, and I decided to return to Currumbong. Sarah and I left in the morning and arrived home safely. I have been very sick, and at times have suffered intense pain. The bloody flux gave me much suffering. I can eat but very little. I dare not eat, but I am improving gradually. I look haggard, but I have courage, and believe that I shall gain strength. Willie came from Sydney last night, and I have had a short interview with him today. Brethren Baker, Semmons, and W.C. White thought they had secured a very good location at Strathfield for the health home. But this is a failure. In some way, there were those connected with the enterprise who manifest a most bitter spirit against Seventh-day Adventists. The result was a most decided refusal to rent the building to us. The way seems to be closing up on every side. We must look to the Lord in faith and pray most earnestly that He will open the way before us. We may be compelled to build a sanitarium. These are the difficulties that obstruct our way. But the Lord has a place for us somewhere. We need an institution where the sick may be treated without drugs. This matter is continually presented before me. Our institutions are established that the sick may be treated by hygienic methods, discarding almost entirely the use of drugs. It is the duty of every human being, for his own sake and for the sake of humanity, to inform himself or herself in regard to the laws of organized life and conscientiously to obey them. there is a terrible account to be rendered to God by men who have so little regard for human life as to treat the body so ruthlessly in dealing out their drugs. It is the duty of every person to become intelligent in regard to disease and its causes. We must study our Bible in order to understand the value that the Lord places upon the men and women whom Christ has purchased at such an infinite price. Then we should become acquainted with the laws of life, that every action of the human agent may be in perfect harmony with the laws of God. When there is so great peril in ignorance, is it not best to be wise in regard to the human habitation fitted up by our Creator, and over which He desires we shall be faithful stewards? We are not excusable if, through ignorance, we destroy God's building by taking into our stomachs poisonous drugs under a variety of names we do not understand. It is our duty to refuse all such prescriptions. We wish to build a sanitarium where maladies may be cured by nature's own provisions, and where the people may be taught how to treat themselves when sick, where they will learn to eat temperately of wholesome food and be educated to refuse all narcotics, tea, coffee, fermented wines, and stimulants of all kinds, and to discard the flesh of dead animals. Let simple food be recommended, and such physical exercise as will call into play the living machinery. Ministers have within their reach the very best medicine, and that which will accomplish the most satisfactory results. It is to use not only the organs of mind, but of the body that God has given them. Physical exercise in useful labor is the Lord's prescription for preserving health. We have a wonderful habitation, and the Lord requires us to keep it in order. We are under obligation to God to keep the human structure in a healthful, wholesome condition, that every muscle, every organ, and the intellect may be used in the service of God proportionately. This is the work that needs to be done in this country. Ignorance prevails, and all need to study to acquire knowledge, that they may impart knowledge both by precept and example. Perverted appetite has been indulged. Tea and coffee drinking is a sin, an injurious indulgence, which, like other evils, injures the soul. These darling idols create an excitement, a morbid action of the nervous system, and after the immediate influence of its stimulus is gone, it lets down below par, just to that degree that its stimulating properties elevated above par. We want a sanitarium, not to deal out drugs, but to educate our fellow beings to let them alone. By eating and drinking to the glory of God, we shall avoid much sickness. Proper exercise, combined with mental taxation, will be a great blessing. Educate, educate, educate in regard to the right formation of moral character. It is intemperance in eating, the reckless habit of overloading the stomach, that produces erroneous thinking and hasty, passionate teaching. Licentious eating begets licentious thinking. By pampering the animal appetite, a balance of power is given to the animal propensities.